It's almost back to school time, and probably the one back to school that many of us really have no idea how to prepare for is college. Dan, we are going to talk today about how to prepare your kids for college. This is different than, you know, is your lunchbox packed? Do you got all your books? This is a whole new level of parenting and preparing. And so we got a lot to talk about today.
Yeah. And I was thinking about how I wanted to approach this, and I don't want to overdramatize it. At the same time, I want parents to be alert and aware. And so I think what I'm about to say is accurate. You need to prepare your kids like they're going off to war, because on many levels they are. They're going off as innocent young kids who you have done your best to shelter, guide, and direct, and they're literally being thrown in the deep end of the pool. Problem is, so many of us have not prepared them. They don't even know how to swim.
Yeah.
We've sheltered them. We've given them lots of life jackets. We've made sure that they stay in the shallow end for many, many years. But now, simply because the calendar has demanded that it's time for them to shift locations for their education, now we've put them in, by every standard, if you send them to a state university, they're going to go into a hostile environment,
right?
Incredibly hostile, if they want to hold on to their traditional worldview.
Yeah. So, you can't cram for this.
No, you can't. Yeah, I want to make sure people listening, if you've got a kid who's in seventh grade, listen to this episode. Don't wait until they're seniors.
Yeah.
You need to start prepping now.
Yeah, this is pretty intense stuff. Because I think that what we're seeing with the secularization of our culture is it's just only going to keep getting more difficult or more challenging. Because you know those waters they're stepping into is a war zone for many of them. So I remember I used to do a talk with my, when I was a youth pastor, I used to have a talk with my seniors, and I would give them five main things to remember as they went off to college. And, it was just some very practical advice, but, I want to save some of that for later, but let's just talk to the parents right now. What are some things that parents can do in the short term and long term to make sure that their children, their son and daughter that's going off to college, is prepared?
Yeah. So I've got eight major points, but I simply want to say this as we kind of launch into them, and they'll be rather rapid fire as we get into it. And that is this: parents, it is very essential that you be as proactive about this as you've been about anything in your kid's life. And I think we also need to be really, really cautious about even the question of, is college right for my child?
Oh, yeah, totally.
I think, there's this idea, and it's pushed by the university system. They need your students because they need your money to pay for their extravagant buildings and projects. but not every child needs to go to college.
That's
and,
right.
And your kid can make six figures. They can do well. They can start businesses. They can go to a lot of different fields without a college education. Now, that sounds weird because, I'm bivocational, and I'm full-time graduate school professor. Yeah. I have three degrees. I believe in college.
Yes.
At the same time, I don't work in the field of my degree. None of my degrees.
Yeah.
All my degrees are in education, and I'm not in the field of education in areas that would require me to have these degrees.
Yeah.
So you can succeed in a lot of different ways: going into the military, being an apprentice, getting an associate's degree at a local community college, learning a skill, learning a trade. There are a lot of other things, and that does not prevent you from being elected to Congress. It doesn't prevent you from owning your own business. It doesn't prevent you from anything at all. And the fact is, you can go back to school online anytime you want. I've got multiple students in my classes that are older than me, and I'm not young. So the reality is shoving them out of the nest at 18 is not necessarily a good idea, which brings me to one of my first points. And now I've got 9 points because I hadn't written this one down. So this point is this: consider a gap year.
Oh, now, I love that idea.
This was not popular when I was a kid. It was not popular when I was working with high school kids. Your kids have done this, and I think it's really good. And a lot of the kids in my life group are doing this. Send them around the world. Send them on a missions trip. Send them. Don't just give them a year off. Make it a genuine gap year. Planet, World Race. There's a bunch of different ones you
Torch
can research.
Bearers,
Torchbearers.
Word of Life
Word
Institute.
Word of Life Institute. And there's one in Scroon Lake, New York, and there's one in Hudson, Florida. Those are excellent. And And what they do is they provide a transition period from your total dominative control to being able to make some decisions independently.
Yeah.
Your kids will change dramatically during their gap year, and they will mature dramatically during your gap year.
Because those gap years, what they do is they put them in an environment that they are being flooded with the Bible. Mm-hmm. And flooded to live a life on mission.
Yeah.
And those, I mean, what, they've got the energy, they've got the mushy brain. Right. I mean, to me, there's no greater opportunity. They're never going to have this opportunity again.
Absolutely.
To have the freedom to do something like this.
Yeah, once you get through college, you're not going to take a gap year after college because you've got student debt or you've got a career waiting for
you. Yeah, in most colleges, you know, you earn all the scholarships. If you go to them and say, we're going to, I want to delay my scholarships for a year because I want to give my, I'm going to spend a year serving, you know, underprivileged kids. Or do, I mean, mm-hmm. most, I mean, 90 some percent of the university would be like, good, go, because they want that kind of student on their campus.
Yeah. And the dropout rate, the casualty rate, the every negative thing that can happen to your kid in college happens the first year.
Yeah.
Not every, but a majority of
them. A lot of them.
Well, yeah. They happen the first year. It's when kids make their worst grades. It's when kids get drunk.
That's right.
It's when kids get kicked out. It's when kids get involved in sexual immorality and drug use. There's all kinds of bad things that happen that first year. And again, it's because we kind of throw them into the deep end.
Yeah.
And they're being not influenced by mom and dad, not even influenced by college administrators and caretakers, but by fellow students.
Absolutely.
Scripture says, always beware of the fellowship of fools. The
That's
fellowship
right.
of fools is in school, they always, you know, the class clown, the big jokester, the, you know, the cool jock and the pretty cheerleader. These are not the kids you want helping your kids make lifelong decisions.
Yeah, college becomes the kids that they went to school with. They're now living with those kids.
Yeah.
And it's completely different. So, all right.
So let me just whip through a few of them. First of all, I would say this up front. Consider a Christian college or university.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's been this impression for years that you somehow suffer academically if you don't go to a Christian college or university. Mm. And it's just simply not true. These schools are accredited. These schools are of high academic quality and always have been. Now, there's always been a few bad ones, but I got to tell you, there's some really bad secular schools and state schools and so forth as well. So you got to choose wisely. Mm. Find out what their graduation rates are. Find out what their placement rates are for employment afterwards. But, you know, whether we're talking about Cedarville University, or we're talking about Liberty University, or we're talking about Wheaton University, or we're talking about, you know, schools that are more private than Christian but have a biblical worldview like Grove City College or Hillsdale College. Mm-hmm. There's Colorado Christian University is a
phenomenal
university that's absolutely exploding right now.
Yeah.
Grand Canyon University has a decent biblical worldview. And I can go, and maybe we ought to do a bonus episode sometime of colleges you should consider. But there are a lot of good schools out there. Now, your kids can get into big trouble at a Christian school.
Oh, it doesn't. Yeah, that doesn't.
I've lived this in my own life. Every kid has to decide where they're going to be with the
right.
You can do that at a Christian high school.
Yeah.
But you're going to have a more proactive stance by administration, and you're going to have a larger pool of kids who are trying to do the right thing available for your kids in these institutions. And they can come out of there. I mean, I know court justices, Supreme Court clerks who graduate from Cedarville.
That's
politicians from Pensacola Christian College, even Bob Jones University.
Yeah.
So they do well on their own.
Yeah,
and by the way, formation of character is a responsibility of the home, not the college.
Yeah.
So your kids are going to be who they're going to be largely by the time they get into college anyway.
That's right.
They just need that little piece of paper. So that's one of the areas. Another thing is, as you're preparing them during their high school years, have long conversations that involve scenarios.
Hmm.
And I say this is good for, you know, elementary kids going into middle school kids going into high school kids going into college. For instance, if I had an upper elementary student, I'd be talking to them all the time, like, what are you going to do when someone shows you pictures of a classmate that's naked on their telephone and wants you to take a look at it, want to send it to you on your phone?
Mm.
You say, oh my goodness, I couldn't have that conversation. Well, why not? Because I promise you,
it's going to happen.
That's going to happen. Well, what do you do if someone contacts you on the internet and says they saw you in the store and they want your number, or they saw you on the store and they want to meet up with you at Target for coffee?
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to respond to that? So then expand that, make it more age appropriate as they get older.
Yeah.
What are
yeah.
you going to do when you go with your roommate to a party?
Mm.
And you get there and they're openly smoking pot and doing drugs. Do you stay? Do you try to be cool? Do you leave immediately? Do you call the police? You know, what is going to be your response?
Yeah. Yeah.
And help them walk through it. Because what you want to do is develop some kind of muscle memory that allows for them to know what the next step they should take.
That's right.
Give them permission to call you at any time, regardless, without you freaking out, and getting your counsel in the moment.
Mm.
No, Those kind of things are really important. And rehearse those. Rehearse them in the car and go over it with them. So I think that would be helpful to them. Another thing, too, is do your homework before you – well, let me do one more, then I'll go to this one. Enroll your kids in a summer worldview institute.
Mm.
The one I'm going to recommend is Summit Ministries.
Summit Ministry in Colorado. Summit
in Colorado, in Manitou Springs, Colorado. But I think Jeff Myers is still there. They have a campus in Tennessee as well. But you got people like Scott Klusendorf. You've got people like Warren Smith. Many great apologists, worldview people, thinkers. Go to this and train your kids. And what they'll do is they'll give your kids a 2 to 4 week intensive training on how to counter the anti-Christian worldview that is not simply going to be introduced to them, but it's going to be forced upon them, shoved down their throats.
Militantly,
angrily,
threatening
their grades, their livelihood, their future, their social status, and everything else. They need to be able to give an answer for the hope that lies
within them. And some colleges are more intense than others. Like, but I guarantee you, if your kid goes to a secular university, there's going to be at least one professor on that campus and of a general education class that they have to take that I promise you it will be anti-Christian.
That's just
given. And that's good. I mean, so you need to make sure that they're able to answer those. And don't listen, if you watch God's Not Dead and think that your kid's going to be able to do that,
that's awful.
That should be a fictional movie. I mean, kind of stuff is very. I mean, it's nice to think about something like that happening, but it's just not the. That's not the main. That's not reality. So okay.
Yeah.
Worldview.
Okay. The other thing too is I would urge you to give them assigned reading.
Oh. Okay.
You know, and you know, I'd give them a financial incentive for it. Stop and think about this. You'll be the same in 10 years as you are today, except for the people you meet and the books you read. So if you said to your freshman, how would you like $5,000? And they're going to say, oh, yeah, this freshman in high school. So, okay, I'm going to give you a list of books to read. And if you'll read 100 books, that's 25 a year.
Mm-hmm.
That's two a month, one every 2 weeks. For the next 4 years, I'll give you a check for $5,000.
Wow. Hey. Now, I'll sign up for that,
yeah,
Dan.
It's
Britt's like, I'll do it.
It's $50 a book.
Yeah. And that's doable.
Yeah, absolutely. Make it $100 a book. Make it, make it 10. And to me, that money that you give them for that would be life altering. And they'll use it in college and use it for their college debt. So you're just prepaying your college tuition anyway.
Yeah.
So I would say, and you can always email me or you or somebody else on a list of books that are essential. But like books by Nancy Piercy, or Worldview, The Universe Next Door. There's a lot of good books that you can have them read.
And even like a Financial Peace University book. You know what I mean? Just a personal finance. That's so important.
And
so
this next one is going to sound really, really weird, and let me explain myself to it. I would say this. You need to require your student to get a job while they're in college. You know, this is one of the little secrets that people don't understand. People think that when their kids go to college, if they've not been to college, that they go to college and they spend as much time in classes as they did in high school or in not even close.
Yeah.
So roughly it's roughly this. If you're in a three-hour class, your class meets 3 hours a week.
Yeah.
So at the most, if you're taking I took 18 to 21 hours. Most people take 16, 15.
Yeah.
That's 15 hours a week in class. Just
3 to 4 hours a day max.
Yeah. So let's just assume that they have 2 hours of homework, which they won't, outside of class for every 1 hour they have in class.
It's usually one-to-one.
Yeah. If that. And even then, they're still at less than 40 hours.
Yeah.
So here's my contention. My contention is, you know, idle time is the devil's workshop, so my grandma used to tell me, right? I worked 40-plus hours a week going to college. I didn't suffer academically because of that. I suffered because of my own stupidity. But in the process, and I didn't make a lot of money. I had my pocket money.
Yeah.
And, you know, I saved enough for a car and my first apartment rental. But in the end, it kept me out of the idle time zone. It kept me out of that. Well, what do I want to do now? I'm bored. Let me have some fun. Let me get on my phone. Let me meet somebody. And it gave me something to. Plus, I became an assistant manager. You did too.
Yeah.
We sold shoes. You and I both did.
Yeah.
I bought some from you. I remember that. So
what it does, what you're saying is, it creates discipline.
Yes.
That's the whole point, is that you have to be disciplined with your time. A job forces you to, and even they even say this when students, when they're student athletes, when students are in their season, they usually get better grades because they have to be more prepared. And when they're not in season, they have, well, they think in their minds, I got all this free time to do it. And then they're not as disciplined. So the more structured and more disciplined that they can be forced to do, the better they'll actually do in their grades.
I hope people are writing that down, because that is one of the most important things. The reality is, so many college kids get into poor discipline routes. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll stay up and party on Friday and Saturday nights. Mm-hmm. Then they sleep late. And then they sleep late on Monday morning because they're hungover and strung out. And so then they miss classes.
Yeah.
And then it repeats the cycle. Then they stay up too late. And they're not sleepy because they slept till noon.
Yeah.
Because they were sleeping through their classes. And so they don't
it's
go to bed.
It's a vicious cycle.
Yeah, and it falls apart.
Yeah.
So here's a couple of other things. I would take when you visit your college, take your college trip with your kids, which most of us did or do or will, visit some churches in the area. Find out some churches that have vibrant college ministries. One of our guys on our staff here did something I think was really wise. When he was at Appalachian State University, he got involved in a church there. It was very influential in his life, eventually hired him to be part-time music pastor. So he told his son, look, you know what? Here's the golden rule. He who supplies the gold makes the rules, right? So he said to his son, I'm going to help you get through college, but you're going to church every Sunday. And not only are you going to church, you're going to have a ministry in that church. That's going to feel like home. You serve here now, you're going to serve there then. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the deal. I help you with your tuition. You're going to go to church. Mm-hmm. Whether you like it, you say, oh, yeah, you can't force kids to go to church. No, but you can make it. You can make it more pleasant. You can incentivize it. You can make it unpleasant if they don't.
Yeah.
And the bottom line is, you have every right. You have every right, if you're paying bills, to put expectations with the paying of the bills.
Right.
Don't be a patsy.
Yeah.
And you say, well, they're never going to get anything out of it if they're forced. Hogwash. I took many a bath that I didn't want to take, and I got something out of it when I did. All right? So that it's just not true. And you'll learn stuff. You'll meet people. You'll get involved. And you give the Holy Spirit the platform to continue His work in their
That's
life.
Good.
So I would say scout out churches and insist that they get involved.
That's good.
Okay. Another thing is locate the Christian groups and ministries
Absolutely.
That are on campus. Yeah. Almost every campus has Campus Crusade, Navigator.
And this is important for secular university. If you're going to go to – make sure if your kid is going to go to a secular university, because some people will say, well, I don't have the money for a Christian private university. Well, then make sure that when they go to find the public university where they have a growing, vibrant Christian subgroup.
Yeah.
Like that to me is huge.
And most campuses have multiple options.
Yes.
And actually, I found some of those vibrant ones are on the schools that would tend to be more liberal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they don't tend to go, like I have a friend who's at Pepperdine. Well, Pepperdine's a nominally Christian school in orientation. Mm-hmm. There's hardly anything going on in terms of Christian ministry there because it's kind of considering by California standards. and so they haven't invaded that campus like they have USC Berkeley and other places.
Yeah.
So get them involved in it. Here's the thing about it. You want them to connect with other kids who are fighting the battle with them.
That's right.
And that'll be an essential part of it. Plus, you know, there's a good chance they're going to meet the person they're going to spend the rest of their life with while they're
Could
in college.
Be. Yeah.
So, and some of our best kids at Life Fellowship here have found their mates at church or at the Christian,
That's right.
at the Christian
That's right.
groups that they bring in. And so, another one, and we're almost out of time, is most colleges provide you with the opportunity to be in a dry dorm or in a substance-free dorm is what they call it. And I would strongly urge that. And I would also strongly urge that, again, if you're paying the bill, you have the right to
That's
make
right.
this call.
Absolutely.
So, and they need to be single-gender dorms. Mm. They don't need to be co-ed dorms.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of tomfoolery, that's a good old-fashioned word right there, the amount of tomfoolery you young people get into. The nonsense that goes on in
Co-ed
college dorms,
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I would say is this. Some colleges have a requirement that you live on campus your first year or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But not all colleges do. And I would say it may be good for your student to find two or three other kids. And, you know, in the day of social internet, social networking and so forth. You can find other kids.
That's right.
There's so many scams associated with college, college textbooks. What a scam.
Oh, my goodness. It's unbelievable. You know?
And another one is dorms. They build these huge dorms, and they need to charge you the food plan and the dorm fee. And you may be able to actually save money with your kids.
Sometimes up to 50%, yeah, depending on the school.
Yeah. So and particularly if you have in-state residents, yeah, tuition rates.
Yeah.
So forth. So don't buy – will I want them to have the campus experience? No, you don't. That may not be the smartest thing you've ever chosen. So, and all of us need to realize this. It's been 40 years since I was in college. College is not the same as when you or I attended it. So if you got a college-age kid, that was at least 20 years ago, and whatever it was like 20 years ago, multiply it by tenfold.
Multiply it by Sodom, and there you have it.
That's absolutely right. So go in with your eyes wide open. Yeah. Help your kids to understand.
Okay. You said I used to give my kids five rules for college, my seniors. You named three of them. I've got two more.
I want to hear
all them. Right. In the last few seconds, the one was don't get a credit card.
Oh, good one. Good
like
one.
Do not. I know so many of my friends that like they're 18 and you know those, they used to have like these little stands, like sign up for your free credit card and we'll give you these gifts or whatever. And then they didn't know how to manage it and got into trouble. So I would always tell them, don't get a credit card.
Yes.
Like stay away from credit cards until you're out of college. And even when you do put a limit of like $500 on the first one and pay it off every month.
Yeah.
But I just don't get into credit card mess. The second one is do not get a girlfriend or boyfriend your first semester.
Oh, yeah. Oh, good advice.
I mean, what happens is, you know, you're off for the first time, you meet this guy or this girl, and you think they're so amazing, they're so wonderful, and they become the Velcro couple. You know what I mean? Like, they just, everything they do, they're just together. Every meal, every spare time, it's the Velcro couple. You know, like, you cannot separate them. And then what invariably happens, usually 97% of the time, that at either second semester or whatever, they break up, and that your son or your daughter has no friends.
No friends, and the depression cloud settles on them like
so listen,
blanket.
don't fall in love your first semester or even your first year. Just try to be friends with everyone and watch people. See what they're like. You don't need to fall head over heels, because I promise you, you know, you get a girlfriend or boyfriend the first, opening weekend, you're not going to have any friends.
You're a mess.
So anyways, those are the other two bits of advice I always give to my students. And I give them to my children. I'm not sure if they'll listen to them. But anyways, guys, thank you so much for joining us on this conversation with Life Talks. I hope this has been a blessing to you. It's parenting our children today is challenging, especially when we're preparing them for one of the big steps in their life in college. And I hope that the wisdom you got today would encourage you and prepare you for you and your family for this important step. Thank you so much for joining us on Life Talks, and we will talk to you next time.
You've been listening to Life Talks. Be sure to hit the subscribe button so you never miss a new episode. Share this podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to let your friends and family know about Life Talks. We'd love to hear from you as well, so leave a comment and let us know your thoughts on this episode or any other topics we've discussed. Life Talks is a ministry of Life Fellowship in Cornelius, North Carolina. For more information on Life Talks or Life Fellowship, visit lifecharlotte.com, or you can find us on Facebook at Life Fellowship Charlotte.